So I wanted to, I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you brothers and sisters this morning. There was a concept I've been reading a few different books, and as most of you know, as I've shared before, I've got about 10 or 12 books that I'm probably about 15 or 20 pages into each one of them. And I feel like I kind of get the concept, so I don't necessarily have to finish them per se, but that's at least, that's my story and I'm going to hold to it. But I'm reading a book that's a really inspiring book. It's called The Caleb Quest. And we're going to look a little bit this morning into Caleb and his character and the kind of man of God that he was. And I don't think that we sit here this morning and we're too far from the types of, you know, that we're the type of Caleb that we read about in Scripture. So I want to look at that a little bit this morning. And what we're going to look at and we're going to talk about is getting God involved. I want us to contemplate a little bit this morning where we all are in our individual walks of faith in this life. And how we need to get God more involved in our lives. We need to be more a people of introducing God into where we are in our walk of faith, where we are, wherever we may be. We're all at different places of faith, different places, you know, in this journey, you know, but I want to look at a few things this morning. And there's a verse I want to just state to you this morning. Psalm 60, verse 12. It says, "With God's help, we will do mighty things, and He will trample down our enemies." With God's help, we will do mighty things. Not in and of ourselves, but with the help of God. It says, we will do mighty things. And I hope we never underestimate the God that we serve and the kind of people we can be if we will only but put our lives, put our desires, put everything that we are in the hands of God. Amen. You'd go with me in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this beautiful Lord's Day morning. Father, we are a blessed people. We are a privileged people, Father, because we are your people. This morning, Father, as we look into your word, as we look at the character of Caleb, as we look at your people of history, Father, as we look at ourselves, as we seriously this morning look into our very own hearts and our minds, Father, and as we purpose your word, I pray, Father, that your word this morning will change us to be a people more like you would have us to be. Father, help us to be a faithful people. Help us to be a people of courage, a people of integrity. Help us, Father, to be a faithful people, a serving people for this lost and dying world, Father, that your Son Jesus went to a cross for. Father, as we see these things in your living and active word this morning, I pray that you prick our hearts. You touch us in a very special way, Father. Again, as we look into our own hearts, help us to be a little more like your Son Jesus when we go back out into this world tomorrow. May we take this hour of worship, Father. May it move us, may it edify us and encourage us to be the people you have called us to be. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for your precious Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Getting God involved. When I first started out in ministry, I was advised by those who were older and more experienced than I was to make sure I treated everybody in my congregation the same. "Don't have favorites," they said, "because it will create jealousy and resentment." So for the first few years, I tried my best not to show any partiality. There were times when I actually socialized with people who annoyed me and felt guilty for spending time with people I enjoyed. Finally, I wised up and chucked the whole concept. If there's one thing I know, it's that I am drawn to some people more than others. It has nothing to do with love. I can honestly say I love everybody and do my best to prove it in the way that I conduct my ministry. But at the same time, I connect with some people better than others. I understand some people better than others. I admire and respect some people more than others. I have more in common with some people than with others. And yes, I enjoy some people more than others. So I confess I have favorites. I've always had favorites, even when I wasn't courageous enough to admit it. And no, I don't feel guilty. Not anymore. Why? Because I finally came to understand a powerful truth. God has favorites too. Oh yes, He loves everybody, John 3:16 settles that question once and for all. But at the same time, we can see throughout Scripture that God was drawn to certain individuals more than others. And He granted them special privileges and blessings. For example, who would dare to argue that God didn't have special feelings for Noah and his family? Genesis 6. Or that He didn't share a special friendship with Abraham? Or that He didn't put a hedge of protection around Joseph? Or that He didn't see great potential in an obscure shepherd boy named David? Or that He didn't favor Mary over all other young Jewish girls in Judea? And then there's Caleb. If you turn with me this morning to Numbers 14, we're going to spend some time there this morning. So we're going to get to know the Old Testament a little bit. It's a great book. Numbers chapter 14. Starting in verse 1. And this comes after the children of Israel. They sent spies into the land of Canaan. So just for a little bit of history, God brought them out of Egypt, brought them all the way through the desert. They're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, the promised land. And they sent 12 spies, okay, one from every tribe. And then we're going to kind of pick it up there. And they come back with a report. Okay, so they come back with a report. And we know there were two that were favorable to say God can take us, God can deliver this people to us. Okay, so here we go. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. The people wept all night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation and said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. I will make for you another nation greater and mightier than they.'" Jump down to verse 20. "Then the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and they have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, for he has a different spirit in him, and he has followed me fully, I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So why do we read this? What is it about Caleb? What is it about Caleb? We're going to look at this morning. Not only was Caleb and Joshua in the minority. Okay, not only was Caleb and Joshua here, they bring word back. And what do the children of Israel want to do? What do the people want to do? They want to stone them. They want to kill them. They don't like the report. They want to feel defeated. They're defeated already before they even give God an opportunity. And what I want us to look at this morning, brothers and sisters, are we people of God who get God involved? Or do we try to take on things and handle things ourselves? And if we do, we will be defeated. If we try to handle things ourselves, we will face defeat every time. But do we ever give God the opportunity? What is it different about Caleb? And we're going to look at that here in just a moment. What is it different about Caleb? He gets God involved. He gets God involved. Joshua gets God involved. There are some characteristics about them. There's something about Caleb. Look at verse 24. How does he start out there? So God is frustrated. Why? Because the people complain. They distrust. They have no faith. They have no faith. But Caleb and Joshua tell him, they say, we can do this if we only believe. It says verse 8 there in chapter 14. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land. He will bring us. And it says, do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear. And then we look at the character of Caleb. We look at the character of Caleb, verse 24. God is saying, he says, but my servant. He says, my servant, Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him. What is his spirit that's different than what we see from the other 10 spies? What is his spirit that's different? It's a spirit of believing. It's a spirit of trust. It's a spirit of courage. It's a spirit of faith. He says, and he has followed me. Not only has he followed him, it's one thing to follow God. It's another to follow him fully. It's another to follow God loyally. We can all start out. They all went into the land. All 12 of them marched into the land to spy it out. So they followed God. But what was the report? What was the report? We can't do it. A majority of them had more faith in themselves and their lack of ability than the little bit of faith that it takes to do something with God. God says, if you will only have the faith of a mustard seed, Jesus talks about in the Gospels. If we will only but have the faith of a mustard seed, Jesus says, you can move mountains. It's incredible what we can do if we will but have faith. But unfortunately, the majority doesn't believe. The majority do not have faith. The majority have a negative report. The majority believe in themselves, and they don't believe in the God that we serve. They don't believe in the God that sends us into this land out here to survey it and have a special report that says, man, we can do things if we will only but believe. And Caleb was a believer. God says, my servant, Caleb. What was it about him? Number one, it was his humility. It was Caleb's humility. Because he didn't believe in himself, he trusted and believed in God. Notice, first of all, that God called Caleb my servant. Servants are humble people who recognize their place in the grand scheme of things and do their best to fulfill their obligations to their master. That God used this word with reference to someone as ambitious as Caleb is quite remarkable. Ambitious people are generally not servants, at least not for very long. Instead, they live with an upward tilt to their chins. They have their eyes on positions of authority. They become the guys who crack the whip and give the orders. So God's use of the word servant shows that Caleb managed to strike a delicate balance. It proves that his pursuit of a high and mighty dream never caused him to lose sight of his true position in the grand scheme of things or his spiritual obligations to the master. We know God loved this quality in Caleb because the Bible speaks again and again of his special affection for humble people. Listen to these verses. Psalm 69:32. The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Psalms 138:6. The Lord supports the humble, but he brings the wicked down into dust. Psalms 147:6. God sets himself against the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. James 4:6. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and in good time he will honor you. 1 Peter 5,
verse 6.
When we think about humility, what do we think of? Do we think of leaders? Caleb was a leader who had humility. Caleb was a leader who was faithful. But he had humility. He recognized where the power rested. And the power rests with God. It doesn't with us. And the sooner we realize that, and the sooner we become humble people, get out of the way, because God's going to work. Amen. He will go to work on people who are not proud, at least not proud in themselves. If you're going to take pride, brothers and sisters, pride where pride is due. Give it to God. But you and I need to be a humble and a faithful and a serving people. Amen. And God will do things with us. He says, my servant Caleb, because he has what? A different spirit in him. What was the spirit that Caleb had? What was the spirit that Caleb had when he stood in the minority? He was in the minority. There were 10 who said, ain't no way we can do this. No, it's a great land, flows with milk and honey. Yeah, it'd be wonderful, but we can't do it. It's not possible. Caleb and Joshua stood alone. They stood apart from the crowd. What does that take? What does it take to stand apart from the crowd, brothers and sisters, in this day and age? You and I, we're in the minority. We walk a narrow path. We don't walk a wide way. We find ourselves few and far between. When we look to the left and we look to the right, usually we're not looking very far and we realize we're alone. We're not alone in the sense that we don't stand with God. We're alone in the sense that we're probably going to be standing alone with God in many instances. And what does it take to stand alone? It takes courage. It takes courage. Let's be honest. We have to believe in God, not in ourselves. Amen. We have to have faith in God, not in ourselves. The second quality that obviously excites God and makes him want to get involved in the pursuit of our dreams is courage. Again, in Numbers 24, God said, my servant Caleb is different from the others. We should be different. We need to be different from the others. God has always wanted his people to be different. In the Old Testament, he warned Israel not to intermarry with heathen nations or to adopt their beliefs or their customs. In the New Testament, he used Paul's pen to challenge us not to adopt the behavior and customs of the world. Romans 12, verse 2. And through Peter, he reminded us that he has called us out of the darkness of the world and into God's wonderful light. 1 Peter 2, 9. Some translations even refer to God's children, you and I, as a peculiar people. We are to be a peculiar people, different. We are to look different. If we're going to get God involved, we have to be a different people. Amen. We have to look different. But it takes courage to be different in a world that worships conformity. Let me say that again. It takes courage to be different in a world that worships conformity. The world would have us to conform with what the populace believes. You recall that Joseph was sold into slavery for being different. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den for being different. John the Baptist was beheaded for being different. Jesus was nailed to a cross for being different. Even Caleb and Joshua were maligned and threatened with stoning because they dared to stand into opposition to the negative report that the other 10 spies brought back to Moses. The reason the world loves conformity is because it breeds a sense of security. It's the old age idea that if we're all alike, then we're all okay. It's not until one person dares to step out of the crowd and work a little harder or reach a little higher that everybody else looks bad. That's when pressure is applied by the group in an effort to rein in the nonconformist. We call it peer pressure, and it's very powerful. We have to be courageous to stand apart from the crowd. Amen. We have to be a courageous people. Verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully. He has followed me fully, completely. Loyalty. That's loyalty. Any of us can follow. Anybody can start out on the journey, but how many of us will finish it? How many of us finish? We're called to remain faithful until the end. Not faithful one time. Not faithful enough to just get us in the watery grave of baptism. But are we faithful to the end? Are we a loyal people? When we look around and we're standing in the minority, when it takes courage, are we a loyal people when it counts the most? When we're in the minority, when we sit here and we're a few, are we still courageous? Are we still faithful? Are we still loyal? Are we a loyal people? Not just when times are good. Are we loyal when times are tough? The third quality that excites God and motivates Him to get involved with our dreams is loyalty. In Numbers 14:24, God says, "But my servant Caleb is different from the others. He has remained loyal to me." In that phrase, our eyes are naturally drawn to the word loyal. But in my view, the word remained is just as important. Loyalty comes easy most of the time. But Caleb marched into the land of Canaan with his band of brothers to carry out the spy mission. To carry out their spy mission was no test of loyalty at all. But when he saw the giants and the fortified cities, when he began to realize that taking the land wouldn't be as easy as they thought, when panic began to spread among his cohorts, and when the radical element among the people started talking about stoning him, that's when remaining loyal became the real test. The point is that being loyal isn't hard. Remaining loyal is. Caleb remained loyal to the Lord and won God's favor in the process. He says here, as I conclude this chapter, I can't but think about a line I once read about Michael Jordan. I don't remember who wrote it, but it was back in the days when Michael was at his prime, defying gravity, toying with his opponents, and winning championships. After a particularly exhilarating performance in which he hit an off-balance last shot that lifted his team to victory, one sports writer wrote, "It's like having God on your team." The best news I will share with you in this book is this. You can have God on your team. Not someone like God, but God Himself. He'll suit up and take the court with you. He'll block the shots that would hurt your cause and grab the rebounds you can't reach. He'll pass you the ball and set screens to get you open. When you're having trouble scoring, He'll stuff one through the hoop Himself. He'll even call a timeout when you're winded and need a little rest. No, He won't do it all for you. You still have to run and jump and sweat and do your part. You and I, brothers and sisters, have to do our part. But He'll be in the game. And as Caleb discovered, when God is on your side, victory becomes more than just a possibility. You see, God is undefeated. Did you get that? Victory is more than possible. Not because you and I are in the game, because God's in the game. And what did it, God is undefeated. God is undefeatable. We serve a God. We have a teammate. We have a member on our team, the captain, who is undefeatable. Never been defeated and won't be. In fact, He defeated for us. The victory is ours. The victory is ours. But like Paul Harvey said, what's the rest of the story? So we see Caleb as we conclude here in just a moment. Go over to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. So what's the rest of the story for Caleb? Joshua 14, verse 6. Says, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to say as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made a heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while in Israel, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day. How old? 85. Is Caleb looking for a place to rest and chill, kick his feet up? What does he say? As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war. Caleb's still battling. He isn't done. He is not done. Both for going out and for coming in. Caleb says, I'm a war wager. I wage war when I'm going out and when I'm coming in. So you're going to know I'm coming. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. He said, not the valley. I don't need a downhill descent so I can just stumble into it. He goes, no, I'm looking for something to climb. I'm looking for something to do. I'm a difference maker. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, to this day, because he what? Wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So what does this mean for you and I? Probably not a new story to you. We know the story of Caleb. We know the story of Joshua. But what I appreciate as we read Caleb, no different than you and I, brothers and sisters, no different than you and I, except that Caleb didn't have Jesus to look back on and realize that God has given it all. He didn't have Jesus to look at, but he had a God of Israel. He had a God that performed miracles. Caleb believed. He knew that God could do things through him, but he had to be willing. So 45 years later, Caleb said, I am ready today. I am just as ready today as I was then. I'm 45 years older and I'm 45 years wiser. And we sit here today. Caleb was around a bunch of complainers. Sometimes we sit around complainers, don't we? We do. Sometimes we're the complainer. Sometimes we're around a bunch of naysayers. Sometimes we're around people who can't do people. But you and I should always be a Caleb-like person. We should always be a can-do, we serve a living God, get out of the way because he's going to use me kind of person. Because that's what God does, and he will always do that through people like you and I. But we have to be in the minority, because the minority will always be the one God looks for. Just like he started out as we read this morning. There's God. There's people that God enjoys being around, and then there's people that God will put up with. Who would you rather be around? Who would I rather be to my God? Would I rather be a Caleb, a believer, a man who realizes he's something in the master's hand? Or would I rather be a naysayer, one of the 10 that sits back and shakes in their boots and says, no, we can't do it. Can't do it. As we look outside these doors, do we believe that the world wants to hear who Jesus Christ is? We need to believe they want to hear it. We can't go out defeated. We can't go out believing that we can't do. We've got to go out believing we can do. Amen. And not that we can do because we're somebody. We can do because we serve somebody. We serve the God of the Bible. And he gave us his word. He watched his son bleed out for you and I. Because he knows that there is a small minority that will put their life in his hands that he will use. And there are still souls to win. There are still people that Jesus went to a cross for that you and I can make a difference in their lives and still save. And we can fill up this building. We can't fill this building, but God can fill this building. Amen. But we have to be believers, brothers and sisters. We have to believe like Caleb believed. We have to believe like God put that little mustard seed of faith in your heart. It's there this morning. It's there, but you have to find it. You have to grow it. You have to get in God's word and read it and believe it. And when we do and we're willing to work together, God can do incredible things. Amen. He can do incredible things through us. So we have to ask ourselves this morning, are we getting God involved? Are we getting God involved? Are we a humble, a courageous, and a loyal people? Because we've got to do our part. We've got to do our part. And God, rest assured, you can hang your hat on it, will always do his part. Amen. He will always do his part. So if you're here this morning and you haven't invited God into your life, if you're not seeking God out, then you need to. You need to. You've got to bring God into your game. You've got to bring God into your life. You've got to get God involved in who you are. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, don't leave in the same lost state that you came. Because you don't have to. You don't have to leave in the same lost state that you came. You can make the decision to follow Christ, to follow the Lord God. If you're here this morning and you need encouragement, I just wanted to share a few things. Like I said, as I am encouraged in the many books that I start and none that I finish, I at least find a few things that I can share with you, my brothers and sisters, that I hope encouraging to you. And again, as we continue to go down this road of faith together, let's believe that we can do things. Let's believe in the God that put us here for purpose, for reason, to make a difference and do things. Amen. If we can encourage you this morning in any way, let it be known as together we stand and sing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power.
Father God, we come at this moment and we thank you, Father, for the power that is in the blood. We thank you, Father, for the power that is in your word.
Amen.
Pray, Father, that each and every one of us, that you would just fix our minds and hearts, Father, to have greater faith in you and believe in your word, the power of your Holy Spirit, Father. And Father, let us believe in the kindredship that we all have, Father, and fellowship more. Father God, bless our families, Father, and continue to watch over us and take care of us. And let us always be a thankful people, Father, for the things that you've blessed us with. For we see so many, Father, in our communities, in our cities, Father, in our world that are without, Father. And so you've blessed us so richly, Father. And so we owe you great honor, praise, glory, and thanks for that, Father. Bless our families, our children, our loved ones, Father, in the things that we stand in need of, Father. Give us the strength, Father, to believe in the power of prayer. Because, Father, in your word, you tell us that the prayer of one of yours availeth much, Father. And so we believe that. Dear God, please bless the word that was spoken today by Brother Hooper here. Father, please let us take it and share it with others, Father. And bless our congregation. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Adam, for stepping up today and for the fine lesson. We need to hear more of the stories in the